Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
So we've been looking at the story of Joseph, and we've been looking at how God blessed him, and we all probably want to be blessed, but there's something that actually has to come first before the blessing is received. Before we walk in the fullness of that, we want a blessing on our family, of course. We want a blessing on our marriage. We want a blessing in our relationships. We want a blessing on our finances. But there's something that precedes the blessing, and that is forgiveness. Look at somebody and say, forgiveness. If we want to receive the fullness of God's blessing, we must first learn to forgive. The name of the series is Forgiveness, Then Blessing. Forgiveness, then blessing. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And really, we have a choice. We can get bitter or we can get better. Look at somebody and say, let's get better. Forgiveness helps us graduate from this place of pain and progress into the promises that God has for us. Far too many people have identified so much with their pain that they've lost sight of their promise. Forgiveness helps you to refocus back on the promises of God. Forgiveness helps you heal. And with God's help and through forgiveness, we learn to focus on the purpose instead of the pain. We all have pains in our life. We've all gone through things, some bigger than others, but we can either focus on the pain or we can learn to focus on the purpose even within the pain. But we must forgive. Forgiveness, then blessing. Today, I want to talk to you about two things that God will give you when you forgive. Two gifts from forgiveness. In the story of Joseph, we see a man that has a dream. We see that he was betrayed and sold out by people that he trusted. He is sold into slavery. While in slavery, he's lied about and thrown into prison. While in prison, he's forgotten about. There's so many things that caused Joseph pain. So many hurtful circumstances and hurtful people that he encountered. But Joseph somehow learned to forgive. And God gave him two things as a product of that forgiveness. These are two things that I want to talk about today. Two things from forgiveness. Two gifts from forgiveness. First, let me say, before you can forgive someone to their face, you have to forgive them in your heart. It starts in the heart. The journey of forgiveness with Joseph started in his heart. Long before he ever saw his brothers face to face, he had to have a private encounter with God and forgive in his heart. Long before the face-to-face encounter with his brothers, he had to have a personal encounter with God. True forgiveness only flows from God. You can't do it on your own. It is a change of heart. And that only happens with God. Before you can truly forgive someone, God has to touch your heart. So first you must have a personal experience, then you can have a public expression of forgiveness. First you have to have a personal experience, then you can have a public expression. You need God to touch your heart. You need God's help. Maybe there is someone that you need to ask God's help with today. Maybe there's someone that you need to forgive, and it's going to take God touching your heart. It's going to require assistance. It's going to require, God, help me to forgive this person. Some things in the natural are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So with Joseph, somewhere along the way of being in slavery and being in prison, he makes a decision that he would forgive. And forgiveness starts him on a journey that activates blessing in his life. He forgives, then he gets a promotion. He forgives, and Pharaoh makes him the prime minister. He forgives, and he receives honor. He forgives, and he receives riches. He forgives, and he receives a spouse. Somebody needs to see this today. Forgiveness precedes blessing. Forgiveness, then blessing. When you commit to the journey of forgiveness, things begin to happen. Things begin to become activated in your life. Forgiveness releases things. Two gifts in particular that I want to show you that come from forgiveness. And these two gifts that God gives Joseph from his forgiveness are so real that he names his kids after them. Genesis 41, 51, and 52, it says, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." And the second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." So these two gifts that God gave Joseph were so profound that he named his kids' names after the gifts. Manasseh means God has caused me to forget all my trouble, and Ephraim means God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. So God gave Joseph these two gifts, and he made a decision to go on the journey of forgiveness. So first, he gave Joseph the ability to forget all his trouble. When you make a decision to go on a journey of forgiveness, I want to tell you that God will cause you to forget all your trouble. He'll even help you forget the troublemakers. Amen? You'll no longer be fixated on the people that hurt you or the circumstances that hurt you. God will cause you to forget. Manasseh's name means he has caused me to forget all my troubles and all my father's house. That basically means all the people that caused all the trouble in the first place. I don't know about you, but I want to be at a place where I remember the lesson, but I forget the pain. God wants you to get to the place that you learn the lesson, but you forget the pain. How many want that in your life? You want to remember the lesson, but forget the pain. And this is the nature of God that we have to really let settle in as a principle of our life, because the devil is going to try to do the opposite. He wants you to miss the lesson and remember the pain. Think about that for a second. That's exactly what the devil is up to. He wants you to miss out on what you could learn from life and from difficult moments, and he wants you to remember the pain. He wants you to get fixated on the pain, to live in the pain, to live in an endless loop, a cycle of pain, and miss what you could truly learn. The devil wants you stuck in your pain and missing the opportunity of growth. So just for a second, imagine if Joseph never learned the lesson, he just continued to focus on his pain. Where would he have been? Where would he have ended up? Probably in the same place, in the same position, because forgiveness elevates. That's what elevated him out of the prison. That's what elevated him out of slavery. That's what elevated him from the place where he was. We elevate our circumstances through forgiveness. God gives us the revelation of forgiveness so we can be elevated above our circumstances and that we can forget our pain. Let me tell you something. Throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God, especially when the children of Israel come into the Promised Land, God says, listen, don't serve the gods of the pagans and don't pick up their customs. Here's the problem. A lot of times we pick up the customs of our culture and it's detrimental. We begin to remember the pain and we begin to idolize the pain and we get to let pain become our identity, because that's what people are doing in our culture. Said, it's okay to be broken. It's okay to have pain and to live with that pain. No, it's not okay. That's not what the Word of God teaches. That's not what God's original intent was for us, to live in pain. No. He wants you to learn the lesson and forget the pain. He wants, through forgiveness, for us to be elevated above our circumstances. And then the second son that God gives Joseph is Ephraim. Now, Ephraim symbolizes that God had made Joseph fruitful in the land of his suffering. The second thing God wants to do for you is for you to go on a journey of forgiveness, and it caused you to be fruitful in the land of your suffering. When you forgive, God will transform your place of suffering into a place of productivity. I hope you hear this. He's going to transform, if you will forgive, if you'll go on this journey, he's going to transform your place of suffering to a place of productivity. The place of pain to the place of purpose. That's what happens with the story of Joseph. The very place that he suffered in Egypt as a betrayed man, as a slave, as a prisoner, as a forgotten friend, became transformed into a place of purpose, a place of prosperity, a place to raise a family, a place where he could walk out his calling. When you forgive, God will transform your place of suffering into a place of productivity. So the second gift God wants to give you is to make you fruitful in the place that previously caused you suffering. Do you believe that God has the power to transform the place that you're at right now? I believe it. It reminds me of Psalm 23, verse 5, that says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And I want you to think about enemies not just as people, but as circumstances, as painful events of the past. God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You cause my place of suffering to become productive and fruitful. God prepared a table before Joseph in the presence and the environment and the people that caused his suffering. Joseph was given a table of prosperity and blessings in the presence of those that caused him pain and the circumstances that caused him pain. Do you believe God can do that for you? It's what he wants to do for you. He wants to prepare a table before you in the place that previously caused you pain. If you'll forgive, he'll transform. If you will forgive, if you'll commit to the journey of forgiveness, he will begin to transform things in your life. We have a choice in life to forgive and be transformed into something so much greater. Or we can live in unforgiveness and allow ourselves to settle into a much lower version of ourselves. A much lower version of purpose. The Apostle Paul said, "I press towards the mark of the high calling." Well, what could somebody take away from that? Well, if there's a high calling, well, maybe there's just getting by. Maybe there's something in the middle. But Paul said, no, I press towards the mark of the high calling. So when we forgive, we're pressing towards the high calling that God has for us, the high blessing, the fullness of our purpose. But when we don't forgive, we're settling for the lower versions of our purpose. The pains that we hold on to are the pains that hold us back. The pains that we hold on to are the ones that hold us back. We have a choice to forgive and be transformed, or to hold on to the pain and be held captive. God wants you to forgive so you can be free. Free to live your life for him. free to worship Him, free to excel in your purpose. But it takes the difficult work of forgiveness. It's not easy work. Forgiveness is difficult work. God wants to give you two gifts as you decide to go on the journey of forgiveness. As you make the decision to forgive, God wants to give you the gift of forgetting all your troubles and all your troublemakers. Yes, God can do that. He wants you to be able to learn the lesson, but forget the pain. And the second gift God wants to give you, He wants to make you fruitful in the land of your suffering. He wants to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He wants to transform that which caused you so much pain into something productive and enriching and fruitful. God gives us these gifts. He delights in giving us good gifts and blessings. But our job, our part, the requirement that is for us is forgiveness. Forgiveness, then blessing. What is it that God wants you to lay down today? What offense? What pain? What injustice? Who or what do you need to forgive today? Will you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. You have us on a journey of faith and a journey of forgiveness. It all begins with this. You forgave our sins and our trespasses, our fault. But then you invite us to forgive others so that we can experience freedom, so that we can experience blessing, so that we can experience the fullness of your purpose. God, teach us to forgive. We want to forgive like you forgive, like you forgave us and so many. God, we thank you for the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness sets us free. Forgiveness sets us free. First and foremost, your forgiveness towards us. And secondly, our forgiveness towards others. Teach us the power of forgiveness. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with my relationship with Jesus. I feel like I've drifted, but I need to reconnect with Him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. There's something powerful. Amen. Amen. There's something powerful about connecting with Him. None of this is possible without His forgiveness, without His power, without His help, without His assistance. So if you lifted up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. I haven't always done the right thing. And so I'm sorry. And I ask for your forgiveness today. I need your help. Jesus, apply your perfect work on the cross to my life. Forgive me. Give me a fresh start today. I need you to help me live a life that pleases you, that pleases my Heavenly Father. Teach me to follow your commands. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on, let's give God the highest praise today. I'm so excited if you made a decision for Christ or rededicated. I want to tell you, the journey becomes so much easier when you do it in community. I want to encourage you, plug in here. If you're from out of town, plug in wherever you come from, but it's important that you plug in. We have some great small groups. We have some great environments, people that will walk with you in your faith. It's so much easier to walk out your faith when you do it among people that also love the Lord. So I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.